The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
You're a great God, and we acknowledge that. Thank you for being God. Thank you for being Jesus. And even this evening, we ask that your wisdom be made available to everyone that is in this place, that will leave this place blessed, fired up by your wisdom. I will leave this place with the perfect way to do life, according to your word, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, so it's wisdom class now, past three. Amen. Hallelujah. Why in the front seat? It's like ushers have to be arrested after this service. Amen. So, wisdom classes. Amen. You know, the choir or the expression, it's not choir. Amen. Apart from my ministers, I think there are another department that have been doing well on Thursdays with their dressing. Let's appreciate them. Let's celebrate them, please. Thank you. If you don't clap now, something you don't like will happen. And every other department should learn from them. Thursday services are not upcoming service. It's not who come with it. It is as serious as every other service, and it should reflect in everything you do. I tell my ministers all the time, if you know how you will not dress to a Sunday service, don't dress like that to a Thursday service. Are you following me? And especially if you're a worker in a department, especially, an expression they've been living up to that. And that's quite very commendable. Amen. God bless you guys. Amen. So wisdom classes, we started, this is the third class now. Amen. You see, you cannot do life without the wisdom of God, without wisdom generally. To succeed in life, you do life by wisdom. You don't do life by strength. I showed us on the first day that wisdom is better than strength. It has always been, it will forever be. And I was watching a comedy skit this afternoon. Amen. Should I just do? You may not laugh because it's better. Have you ever watched a Mr. Bean comedy? You know, they don't gist the comedy. You watch it to see it. But in the comedy, he was a police officer. So he was pursuing someone. So this guy will jump through, do his trick. Mr. Bean will just open the door and walk through the door. And, it was very dramatic. The guy could run, jump down from a four-story building. One of those cases, he was jumping down. Mr. Bean entered the lift and got down before him. And that's a clear definition of wisdom is better than strength. I get to the point. Most times we find ourselves trying to struggle, whereas the simple answer is in the wisdom of God. Are you following me? The simple answer is in the wisdom of God. You know, in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 16, we saw some of these scriptures on the first day. But maybe I could just touch them again. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 16. Are you there? Are you there? He said, and I'm reading this because I told you, this is something that is the world is known with. that we must correct. He said, wisdom is better than strength. And nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised. There is something that makes people look down on people that are wise, but are poor. In other words, we have a system that appreciates wealth more than wisdom. Are you following me? It's a terrible system. They appreciate wealth more than wisdom. And you see the problem, it might make sense, but when the die is cast, when you really need people, you know you will not go to the rich, you will go to the wise. Are you following me? If you build a company and you want someone that will manage it, you will not go to a rich man. You go to a man that has the ability to manage it, and that's wisdom. That's the wisdom to manage it. You know, I'm saying a lot of things, a lot of circular things this morning, this evening. I've heard of, you know, Steve Jobs, right? Was it Steve Jobs that once lost Apple? Was it him? I think there was a time he lost Apple at a time. Yeah. You know how these companies work. If you are the highest shareholder, you are the owner of the company. Well, so that particular case, he built the company, he lost it because he didn't have enough money to become the highest shareholder. Down the line, Apple began to go down. He was out of the company already. They went and begged him, brought him back to come and run his company. I get to the point. If you don't know it, don't know it. It's not about money. You can have money in your hand. If there is nothing here, you're going to struggle. Are you following me, guys? So it's a terrible system where we appreciate wealth more than money. So a girl wants to get married. All she's focused on is how much does he have? Sometimes, have you seen people that are rich, but they qualify to be called rich fools? They have money, but when you talk with them, you are wondering, how did they get this money? I remember, how did this guy get this money? Because he's so foolish, but he has the money. The chances are, if he doesn't work on it, that money will fly away one day. You see, wealth can be gotten by strength. Wisdom sustains it. Are you following me? Next week, I will talk about wisdom in the area of finances. Next week, I'm going to take time to talk about that. Amen. Now, today, I want to talk about leadership. Developing the leader within you is what we're looking at in our wisdom classes today. You see, we must learn that leadership, I've said this over time, is a popular quote. Leadership is influence. Leadership is not position, it's influence. And I want to start by saying that everybody needs what I'm going to teach now. I put it up on Facebook. I said, everybody needs what I'm going to teach now. You either need it because you're a leader now, or because you'll be a leader tomorrow. Everybody is a leader. You're either a leader now or you'll be a leader tomorrow. He said, I don't want to lead anything. I just want to be at the background. You are going to get married tomorrow. You're going to have children. You're going to have children. You're going to lead. I get to the point. You will definitely be a leader someday. And you better, and by the time I know this, you even realize that everybody is even a leader currently. So we must know and be trained on the wisdom of God as far as leadership is concerned. Because we are all leaders and we all become leaders one day. And so I'm going to give you like 5 or 6 simple things that will help develop. Now this is not, if you're a leader already, it will help you. You're not a leader anyway, it will help you too. It will help develop that leadership capacity within you. You know, have you heard of people talk about the fact that there are born leaders? Have you heard such things? Some are born leaders. Well, what do they mean by a born leader? They believe if someone is a born leader, it means he has the capacity to make people follow him easily. Now, that is possible. But it's even that leader that is naturally gifted to be a leader. If he does not, pay attention to this, if he does not develop his leadership capacities, he can make people follow him, but they will not last following him. They won't. Because all he has is the ability. You know, some people have this charisma that can make people follow them. When they're in a group with about 5 or 6 friends, they're always the number one. Have you seen such people? Some of you are even like that. They're always the number one. But you see, whether you are a born leader or you are not, you must still take time to develop that ability within you to lead. If you don't develop it, you can use your charisma to attract people and all of them are following you. But because you don't have that capacity to lead them, they're going to leave the same way they came. That's how they're going to go. And these things are learned, and you can learn them from God's word. You can learn how to lead. We can learn how to become a better leader. And it's the wisdom of God that we lead how we must. Hallelujah. We lead how we must. And I'm going to talk to you about something. Some of them are actually concerning you. Number one thing you must know, or you must do, if you're going to become a better leader, is that you must know how to lead yourself. Right? Don't ever forget it. You must know how to lead yourself. To lead yourself. You are your first follower. If you've not learned how to lead yourself, if you've not mastered how to lead yourself, you will not be able to lead other people. Or, even if you do, there will be challenges. You'll begin to see very shortly. What do I mean by leading yourself? I'm talking about coming to a point where you have control over your own life. When you come to a point where you can decide what you must go with and what you must stay away from. It's more like self-determination. Where you have control and mastery over your own life, that you can determine what you go with. You can say, well, I'm not going to go with this. You know, for instance, if I'm a leader over you, what do I do? I'm trying to show you, see the path we must walk. Is that not true? As a leader here, I can say, well, tomorrow we're going to meet here by 4 p.m. I'm the leader. I'm calling the shots. I'm giving us. Tomorrow, there will be no evangelism. Tomorrow, there will be prayer meeting. Oh, next tomorrow, there will be no prayer meeting. There will be this. I'm trying to chart a course. I'm trying to lead us. If it's in a company, I'm saying, oh, we're going to do this. We're going to hit this. I'm trying to lead us. Now, self-leadership or leading yourself is coming to a point where you can direct yourself. Tell yourself, see what I must do. See what I must not do. And you are doing it without the interference of anybody. Now, I understand mentorship and I preach it a lot. Amen? But you see, there must be something within you that drives you to do things beyond external influences. Amen? When we now want to mentor you, it is that thing that is within you that we are going to fan to flame, that we're going to leverage on. You see, if you've not learned that, and there are areas of life where you must learn to lead yourself. For instance, morality. Everybody must have things we call boundaries. You must have this. You say, well, I am not going to do this. And I will not, no matter who is trying to push me to do it, this is my own decision. Are you following me? And I'm talking about coming to a point where you can lead yourself when there is no external influence. When there is nobody that is going to beat you. I give you an example. Joseph, he was in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's house was far away from his father's house. If Joseph has slept with Potiphar's wife, the father will not flog him. Are you getting me? His pastor was not there. But there is something about the guy. He has been able to lead himself to tell himself, say, you're not going to do this. And this is where you stand. This is where I stand. Another example, Daniel. Daniel was in Babylon, far away in Babylon. Far away in Babylon. There was no pastor. You know what they were doing in Babylon? They were taken as slaves. Their church wasn't there. But there is something about being able to lead yourself. Being able to tell, I'm not saying you don't make mistakes, but there must be a level of moral strength. I call it strength of character. Where you can have your boundaries. And I tell young girls in school and young guys, when you get into school, you must have things you don't do. You must have things you do. You must have places you don't go. And that is you. And there's nothing wrong with having such. Like when I was in school, I decided, of course, it wasn't a decision. It wasn't even an option. That I wasn't going to party until I'm done with school. And until I, even till now. I will not party. There were things I decided I was not going to do. Now, listen, nobody was going to flog me. You understand? It was me. I decided. If you are someone that is given to every single vice, people say, can you smoke? You cannot smoke. You say, I can smoke. You cannot smoke. Let me see. You smoke. Do you drink? You cannot drink. I don't want to drink. But you cannot do it. You want to show them. You drink. Every single thing sweeps you. You've not learned how to lead yourself. I get what I'm talking about. It's self-discipline. There's another aspect of leading yourself. In the area of your visions and your dreams. When you've been able to lead yourself, it means you can tell yourself, I'm going to achieve this in 2 weeks. And you pursue it, not an external influence. You pursue it and become stubborn until you achieve it. Listen, if you can master this particular thing I said now, it will now help you when you now become a leader over a team. I give you an example. Some of you that work with me in this church, you know that once we say we're going to do something, we must do it. Notice, I have that, I'm very stubborn. If I say we're going to do this, no matter, even if heaven is falling, Because that is me, my own personal life. Once I make up my mind that I'm going to do this, I don't need you to drive me. I don't need you to motivate me. I get the point. I don't need you to fire me up. It is personal leadership. I said I'm going to do it. And I am going to do it. And I'm going to drive until we do it. And you must be able to have that inner drive. Who is following me at all? You know, this is the reason why many of you, you've had many things you said you are going to do. After doing, you know, when you say it, you start. You even start researching. Before 2 weeks, the fire has gone. Do you understand? Because nobody is trying to force you. It is you. Now, if you are under a leader that was forcing you, you must do this. He might push you to do it. Now, I'm saying, be that leader that will push yourself. Now, you need mentors, you need fathers. I talked about that last week. Now, we can come in, push you, encourage you. But the major strength should be coming from within. Are you following me, guys? It's God's ability to lead yourself. That when you have a dream, when you have a vision in your heart, you are able to lead yourself. You are able to stand strong and say, well, I'm going to achieve this. That is how to begin to learn leadership. I call it self-mastery. I call it, for instance, I call it self-discipline. Personal discipline. Let me show you a scripture. Titus chapter 2 verse 6. Titus 2 verse 6. Personal discipline. KJV says you must be sober. He said, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Put up Amplified. He said they must be sober-minded. Look at what Amplified said. Amplified said in a similar way, urge the younger men to be self-restrained. Self-restrained. And to be prudently, taking life seriously. Self-restrained. Taking your life seriously. Well, I'm going to achieve this and I am disciplined to achieve it. Now, I want to say to somebody here, some of you, you have standards. And people, and you're trying to keep your standards. And people feel you are too serious with life. No, you're not too serious. It's personal leadership. You must have things you do. Are you getting the point? Are you following me? A young lady says, I don't visit guys. Amen? They say, why? I cannot visit a guy in his house. He say, why? You are too serious. This is not Christianity. This is, no. You see, that lady, you should have what you do and what you don't do. Whether it is right or not, that is what you don't do. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you following me, guys? Things like, some of you that, you know, I was talking to one of my people, I said, something I've observed, if you're in school, if you've gone to school, how many of you are in school or you're in school, you lived in a student's lodge. One of the things you observe when you stay in student lodges is that most of the guys and most of the girls in those lodges, they mix up and do bad things. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Huh? Do you know why? They're not dating, though. I'm not saying they used to date. They're not caught. They just mix up. It's because of lack of personal discipline. How it starts is we are in your room seeing a movie. 9, 10. 10:30, 11. You sleep off. Wake up by 2. If there is no personal boundaries around you, do you know there is nothing wrong with, oh, the time is 9:30. You have to start going, you know. He said, why? He said, 9:30 cannot be in my room by this time of the night. Is anything wrong with that? Eh? Are you not being too serious? There is nothing wrong with it. Don't be rude, though. If you don't have that, my point, I'm talking about sin now, but minor sin. You must have your own, but this is what I do. This is what I don't do. This is what I will not do. I am self-disciplined. And that same way, if I tell you I'm going to start this business in 3 months, I'm going to push to start it. Think of how many dreams you've had that you've not woken up from till today. Till today. You dream it. You see the vision. You even plan it. You will still not do it. Personal discipline. Do you know, if there was someone that was behind you flogging you to make sure you do it, you would have done it. Why not be that person for yourself? Amen? Why not be that person for yourself? I've seen people, I'm not saying this to criticize them, but I'm just telling you this. I've seen people that lack personal discipline. And they mess up. When I was just being president, one special thing, I don't know whether I still like that in the school, one special thing with the school I went to and the JCB office is that there is no body, there is no supervising body over the JCB president. We are JCB president, you are the one that we call the shots. There is no body, there is no system, nobody over you. Are you getting the point? Now, if you become JCB president in my school and decide not to host any meeting for the whole 1 year, nobody is going to question you. If you decide not to do anything, nobody can question you. And I tell you, some persons become JCB president in that school. I saw it even after I left. And the whole year, they only hosted one joint fellowship. Only one. Sometimes, some don't even host him. There's one that he did not do anything until the only program he put up was when he was handing over. They came together, he handed over. Because nobody's going to beat him. That self-leadership has been able to do something. When nobody's going to beat you, yeah, this is what you have decided to do and you are standing with it and you're doing it. Being able to lead yourself. Are you following me, guys? If you've not mastered how to lead yourself, it will be difficult to lead other people. Because you don't even have strength of will to say you will do this and you guys will do it. And you know that, the team will run on the strength of the leader. I don't know if you know this. You know this, right? So because you don't have that personal strength, you will struggle. So I'm a pastor here. I'm the leader of this church. If I tell them, ask my ministers, I tell them, see, we're going to do this. Even when they are fainting and when they are tired, I am very stubborn. If I tell them we're going to do this, we are going to do it. Last 2 years, you know, lockdown, you know, the whole COVID-19 lockdown period. My pastors had told me that they thought there would not be Razor Facts that year. Because that period I was supposed to do Razor Facts, we are doing lockdown. They're like, if I tell Razor Facts date, so they say, ah, now what? So I don't even get tired. We have said we're going to do this. I have strength of it. It's a personal thing before it's even a team, a ministry thing. Are you getting the point? Are you following me, guys? It's a personal thing. So you have a company tomorrow, or you want to start one, or you want to achieve whatever. That strength of will, you need it. Now, when you say this is the thing we are going to break in the next 2 weeks, you can stand. That's why I said you must master yourself. Learn to lead yourself first before we can talk about leading others. Are you still here? Are you still here? The second thing you need to be a good leader or to develop the leader within you is to be a good follower. It is good followers that make good leaders. There are a set of people I avoid totally. You see anybody that likes to lead but does not like to follow, I avoid you totally. And after the implication of that, I'm coming to that. Check everybody that did great whatever in the Bible. They followed though. Elisha followed Elijah. Jesus did not just come out and pick disciples. He picked them. They followed him for 3.5 years. Moses, Joshua followed him. There must be proper followership. It takes good followers to make good leaders. So that how do you now lead? You lead the same way you follow. The same way they led you, you lead the same way. You see leaders that want to be leaders, but they don't want to follow anybody. Mentors that were never mentored. Teachers that were never taught. Are you following me? 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. Paul said the same things that you heard of me among many witnesses, pay attention. He said the same commit to faithful men. So there is a process. Timothy, you are first a student of me. You will not have students under you. Teach them the same thing I taught you. Those students under you will teach the students under them the same thing. So there must be a teacher. So it is good students that make good teachers. Are you following me, guys? If you are not a good student, you will not be a good teacher. But people want to lead. You know, there are people you see. Have you ever seen this kind of people that you make them the leader of the team? The team is doing well. They are very committed. Make them, let them not be leaders again. they become the trouble in the team. Have you seen such people? They become very stubborn. But once they're the ones in charge, let's do this. Because I didn't commit them. Let us show energy. Let us be committed. We are not here to joke because they're the leaders. Once they're not the leaders, or they're not the leader, he said, meeting is my fault. He said, I was coming from school. You know, school was so busy. When he was the leader, he will leave lecture by 3:30 to be there by 4. Are you following me, guys? But now he's no more the leader. He said, I left your period. He's a bad leader. And let me tell you the challenge. If you see, if you're not a good follower and you want to be a leader, I tell you what you're going to become. You become a tyrant. Bad followers don't make good leaders. They make tyrants. I'll tell you why. You know, the Igbos have a proverb. Amen? The Igbos have a proverb. No gumma. What it means is, people who kill by the sword, they don't ever allow you to bring a sword around them. Now, because that guy is rebellious naturally, as a follower, when he becomes a leader, you cannot try anything around him. Once he just sees any sign of rebellion, he's there fighting. You don't do that here. You don't do that here. You know why he's fighting? He is seeing himself in you. Are you following me? Are you following me, guys? Now, I'm going to see if you're a leader in this church, listen carefully. You know, the church, the way our church is structured up and down in a way that you are a lead. If you're a leader somewhere, you're a follower elsewhere. Have you observed that in this church? If you are not following well, you are not leading. You can't lead well. And whether you're a leader or not, one of the ways to develop your ability to be a leader tomorrow is to be a committed, solid follower. When you are a solid, loyal, committed follower, when you now become a leader, how will you lead? Exactly the way you've been led. You see this verse? The same thing you heard of me. The same thing. Now, God, the same way I taught you, you now teach others. Are you following me? You find this in many places, in many ways. Somebody feels he has a call to do ministry. He wants to be a pastor. Listen, though. He wants to be a pastor. The Lord has called him to start a church. What does he do? He will not stay committed in any church. He begins to gallivant from church to church. That's going to be a very terrible pastor. Because he was never a committed member of a church. Now he wants to become a pastor to raise committed members. May all your members be like you. I didn't get it. Imagine God says, okay, you see the way you are. I'm going to give you members that are as committed as you are when you are a member elsewhere. Some of you, that would be a good news. You say, amen. Some of us will say, ah, God, now what are we fighting? Why are you trying to do this to me? It takes good followers to make good leaders. You know, when I was a young guy in ministry, I'm one of the people that, by God's grace, have been opportunity to raise leaders a lot, by God's grace. Now, when I was younger in the ministry, I beat leaders by capacity, by ability. See, that guy is very serious. He can preach. He can lead. He can control people. Let's pick him. He's the leader. Everybody I picked based on that, I don't know where they are today. Are you following me? When I got older and more mature, I don't pick leaders based on abilities again. I pick leaders based on loyalty. Amen? Show me a loyal person. He's committed. He can follow. I'll make him a leader. Any kind of leader. I can even make him bishop. He said he cannot preach. He's fine. Because he can follow, he can be taught. I didn't get the point. Isn't that a big deal? Some of you that were in PG, you know, when we were picking pastors, you know, earlier. Some of the people I pick as pastors, you go, why? This one is just a pastor. Yes. Yes. The important thing is your heart, you can follow. And watch those people that can follow. Let me give an example. I know she's going to listen to this, and this is also to commend her. When I was going to pick a pastor for UNN Center, some things that rocked UNN Church, when we started UNN Church, so some issues that rocked the church. So I dissolved the entire system that was in place then. We're going to put another pastor. And the person I picked as the, who knows the first pastor of UNS Center? Huh? Pastor? The pastor that, Pastor Delight. You know Pastor Delight? Now when I picked Pastor Delight as the pastor, now, many people didn't, he was just a normal girl, he wasn't even a leader anywhere. He was just a leader. I picked her as a pastor. And the major thing was, she was following. Pastor Delight followed until today in a very, and this is also to commend her, like I said, in a very amazing way. Then I used to be in any day she hears, pastor has come down to Nsukka, she appears. She asks me, she wears me out with questions. Pastor, this one said, I saw this. So when I was going to make a pastor, she did not have all the whatever it took to be a pastor as at then. But she had that followership thing. Amen. And it showed. Until I made her a pastor, I did not rest again. It doubled. That every one step. So I want to do this, want to do this. And the amazing work you see in UNN today was built by Pastor Delight. Are you getting me? The amazing work. And the thing is, once you are a good follower, it's easy to lead. Are you following me? Once you're a bad follower, you cannot lead. And when you now begin, if they ever tell you to become a leader, you become a tyrant. You know why you're a tyrant? You are being so careful so that nobody can march on your head. The same way you are marching on your leader's head when he was leading you. Are you still here? I said, are you still here? So you must be, you know, in my note I said, don't demand followership from anyone where you do not follow anyone. If you follow no one, stop demanding followership. If you follow no one, stop demanding followership. Don't demand that people should follow you. You will destroy their lives. Don't demand that people should follow you if you cannot follow anybody. It is good followers that will make good leaders. What I'm going to tell you, if you want to become a better leader, is a very simple thing. In that department you are, be a committed follower. You know, there was someone in the Bible that the apostles nicknamed Son of Consolation. Let your leader see you as a son of consolation. Let your leader see you as somebody she can fall back on or he can fall back on. Are you following me? Let your leader see you as someone that can be relied, that anytime I need someone that can be available, it is this one. You are training. You don't need to plan. You know, the reason we follow is not so that we can lead tomorrow. Do you understand? But in following, we become better leaders. Let it be that if I ask your leader, who is your most committed, most reliable? He says, it's that one. Then some of you have been in the ministry for some time. Have you noticed some people that you used to say of them, that one, she doesn't want to lead. She just wants to be an assistant. Do you know people like that? She just wants to be behind. Those kind of people, watch them, they always make very powerful leaders. Because they always want to just say, oh yeah, they follow you. Let's pay money, they pay. Let's be around by four, they're around. They are good followers. When you pick them as leaders, you've picked an asset. I follow me, guys. So followership. Followership. It takes good followers to become good, to make good leaders. The third thing, you need to be a better leader, is that you must learn to lead from behind. Learn to lead. You know, so I'm not remember this teaching I did some time ago, leading from behind. Remember? You must learn to lead from behind. Now, leading from behind, the simple concept of leading from behind is, you must, what is leadership again? Talk back to, what is leadership? Leadership is what? Influence. That's what it means. To be a leader is to influence people. Leadership is not position. It is influence. You are not a leader because you are the pastor. You are not a leader because you are the MD. You are a leader because you are doing the job of a leader. And the job of a leader is being a positive influence over people. Impacting them and influencing them positively. And that job of a leader can be done from wherever you are. Whether in the front or at the back or in the middle. Are you following me? And so you must learn to lead from behind. Lead from wherever you are. You must not be in the front to be the leader. Not everyone in the front is the leader. How many of you know this thing? So what does it mean? Lead from behind. Since leadership is influence, begin to influence people. How do you do that? In your own little space, for instance, be productive. Be productive. You know, the same productivity expected of a leader. Give that productivity, whether you're a leader or not, then you are leading. Should I say it again? The same productivity expected of a leader. The same way a leader is expected to come by 2 p.m. on time. Leader is expected to always be punctual, always dress well, always that thing you expect of the leader. Begin to produce that same thing. Are you following me? You are leading from your own small space. The same productivity is something, you know, is something that if you take it to the outside world and you practice what I'm teaching you in politics, you will even overthrow the leader over time. Where in your own little space, you are leading. It doesn't mean you are trying to, I'm not talking about trying to control people. No, you are just being productive. They say be in church by 4 p.m. You are there. You know, I was just listening to my people this afternoon. How many of you know Bishop Dag Edward Mills? Bishop Dag is pastor of Lighthouse Church in Ghana. And so Bishop Dag came to church one day, and this says a lot about how to follow. He came to church one day, and he told his people, you know, he's a medical doctor, so he told his people that finally he got a scholarship to do his master's in the U.S., and so that he'll be traveling and living in Ghana, the U.S. He'll spend about 2 or 3 years, and then he'll be back. Amen. So when he told them, all of them, you can imagine if I made that kind of announcement. I say, hello guys, my scholarship finally clicked. I'll be on my way to Cyprus for 4 year hustle. I'll be back. So the whole church went moody. He now said, so pastor will now take over from now until I come back. Everybody went quiet. So he comes to what he was. I tell him, why are you guys feeling bad? I say, people don't like me. Don't want me to go and do my master's in medicine. They were looking at him. And you know, he told them, he said, you guys don't want me to go, right? They said, yes, sir, please don't go. He said, actually, I'm not going anywhere. There is no department in this church I cannot serve in. Because at different points in my life, I've served in all the departments in this church, including choir. Don't look at me like that. Every department. I didn't need to be a pastor to do it. I've been in the band. Glory to God. I've been in the band. I teach the children church. I go teach them. When I'm done teaching children church, I will rush to the adult service. Most of the time, the one that will play drums. But I don't. And after that, we are the ones that will count offering. After counting it, we stay till everything is started up. We carry the generator back to the. It was a routine. It wasn't because of anything. That Sunday, then Monday, we had fellowship. Tuesday, had another fellowship. Wednesday, we did service. Thursday, had another fellowship. Friday, it was like that. Now, it wasn't because of anything. I believe in commitment. If I'm not going to be in something, I will not be there. If I'll be there, I'll be there. I get to the point. I'm an extremist. If I'm going to be in, I will be in. When I entered school, nobody talked me into joining a fellowship. I wanted to join a fellowship. I went to the fellowship. I asked them. I said, I decided on fellowship I was going to join. I joined the fellowship. Amen. I was one that asked them, don't you have foundation school? I want to do foundation school. Now, the thing is, you don't need to be a leader. We began to do things, and so when I became a leader, there was no difference. I hate pretense as a person. I hate living fake life, if you know me very well. So if I will not do it as a follower, I will not be comfortable doing it as a leader. Are you following me this evening? I won't. So you must have that ability, that capacity to lead from wherever you are. When I was growing up as a Christian without a position, I had a lot of people I was mentoring. I was not a leader. I didn't even know I was going to be a pastor. I just had people it was just me. The small knowledge I had, I will share with you. The small power that I used to have, I'll pray for you. I didn't need to be a leader to do it. From your small space, you are doing something. You know, a particular company wanted to employ, you know, this is just one side, the extreme of it, wanted to employ, I think it was a utility manager, something like that. And so when the guys were walking in for the interview, the company purposely put some things, you know, in the wrong place. Maybe this was meant to be standing, it fell. I get the point. They left it down. This switch was supposed to be like this. They left it the other way. They just left it like that, purposely. Then they stayed up in their own room with CCTV, watching people walking in for the interview. One particular guy, it was just him. He just kept like, why is this thing falling? Picked it up. They gave him the job. No interview. Because they said they needed someone that will do it, whether that is a position or not. Are you following me? So learn to lead from behind. Stop waiting to be made pastor. Stop waiting to be made coordinator. Stop waiting to be made whatever. Lead from behind. Lead from behind. That department you belong to. Bring it, that same thing you expect of your leader. Do it. You've been in that department. They've been saying that this money they say everybody should be paying every month. For the past 8 months, you've not paid your own. If we then make you leader, the way you'll be talking, it's not just good that we don't pay our dues in this department. I think that maturity and responsibility, you see that you're going, why not pay your own? You have to pay it now. Say amen. Because you're not the leader now. You come anytime you want. You say, what happened? My clothes was rumpled. You'll be a leader one day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the first one I said is what? The first one? Talk back to me. The first one is what? The first one is lead yourself. Number two, be a good follower. Number three, lead from behind. Learn how to lead from behind. Number four, learn how to lead the way. Lead the way. Lead the way. Hallelujah. What I mean by that simply is, be an example. Leaders don't lead from behind. They lead the way. They become examples. You see, if you are going to make a good leader, whether you have a position or not, be an example of everything you are expecting from people. It's connected to the previous point I made. Be an example. Be an example. Be an example. Leadership in the kingdom is by example. You want people to pray. You want people to study. You want people to dress well. I tell my people, let me give you a little secret of leadership. We practice a lot in this church. If there is something I want the whole church, I want all of you to start doing. It's very simple. My minister said, will be a witness. I'll call them to the office and tell them, I want the church to be doing this. So next Sunday, all of you are going to do this. It always works. Once all the ministers do it 2 Sundays, all of you will start doing it. You don't even know why you're doing it. Are you following me, guys? That leadership, once you lead the way, leadership is example. Should I give a perfect example? Should I? Okay. I'll start from far back. Remember when I was a pastor in Abuja in the church, and then I came to church one day, some of you were there. Who was there that period? Okay, yeah. So let me tell you something that were not, I will tell you the gist. We just started new here. I was still pastoring Abuja and I'm pastoring this one, both of them. Service then was by 9 a.m. I didn't know that these people used to start service anytime they want. Because by the time I come in from Abuja to Enugu, service has started. Sometimes I don't realize some of them were sometimes they started by 9:30, 9:45, 10 o'clock, anytime. So after I stopped pastoring Abba in the church, and then first service I didn't have to go to Abba, I arrived. 9 o'clock, people are living their life. Who was there in church that Sunday? So after service, I said, all leaders are workers, wait behind. And we received wise words from the Lord. After that meeting, the next Sunday, of course, leaders, everybody started coming on time. Now, you've been in PG for some time now. Can you ever imagine service starting late here? You can never. You can never meet us late. Never. Because I just had to get the leaders in order. If the leaders were in order, it became, you cannot imagine, you know, from your house, you can tell what you are doing in church at this time. I didn't get the point. Leaders, you want to be a good leader. Be an example. Let me show you some scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 12. 1 Timothy 4 verse 12. Are you there? Let's read together, everybody. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's start again. Let no man despise. Now, some people read this. This is where they stop. You cannot despise me because I'm young. You can't look down on me. How will you not let people despise your youth? What did he say? Be an example of the believers in word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, purity. That is how not to let people despise you. Let me even give you a little secret. You are in this church or you are in any organization and you want people to respect you very well. Huh? What I'm teaching you is the answer. One of my people many years ago or some years back, he was in, this is a guy team. He was in a leadership team. In that leadership team, he was the only guy in that team. So one of those days in the meeting, there was an issue that came up. So he felt, he didn't like the way they spoke to him. So he fled up in the meeting and began shouting, "Don't talk to me like that." So after that shouting, they brought the case to me. So I told them, I know what's wrong with him. So I invited him over. He came. I said, I heard what happened. He said, "Daddy, I'm sorry." I said, "No, don't apologize. What happened was, it was your pride as a man. I made him comfortable." He started talking. He said, "Yes, now, how can I be talking to me like that?" I said, "I know. You don't force respect. You earn it." Are you following me? Should I say it again? You don't force respect. What do? You earn it. I said, if you want them to respect you, simple secret. I showed him this verse. Be an example. If they say church is by 4, be there by 4:05. If they say they are paying 10 naira, pay your own as at when due. Let there be no reason for them to tell you, "Hey, stand up. Why have you not paid?" I get to the point. If they say that they're wearing big shoe, small trouser, big cap, wear it exactly like that. Big shoe, small trouser, big cap. Let there be no reason. When you become an example, you begin to earn respect. Amen. There are two things that make people earn respect. Two major things. One of them is this one. I'm showing an example. Be an example. Secondly, make impact in people's life. These two things, no matter where you are in the radar of leadership, once you are a good example and you are impacting people's life, they will respect you. You don't force it. Are you following me, guys? I said, be an example. The secret to not letting people despise your youth. The secret to letting, even in your class, oh, you don't want people to look down on you. Simple thing I'm teaching you. Be an example. Automatically, you begin to lead them, but they don't know. Be an example. Class is by this. Be there. This is how to be there. An example in word. They say we must fast and pray. Fast and pray. They say we must be in the prayer meeting by 6. Be there by 6. Once you are a good model, a good example, you are learning how to lead. And it will be easy for people to follow you. Whether you have a position or you don't have a position. Amen. Titus 2 verse 7. Titus 2 verse 7. So he told Timothy, be thou an example. Verse 7. He told Titus in Titus chapter 2 and verse 7. Verse 7. You have an issue? Are you there? Let's read together, everybody. Come on, let me hear you. Start again. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. So, he says, be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, Chewing on corruptness. Gravity, sincerity, verse 8. So when it comes to teaching, be an example. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. Go back to verse 7. Put up say NLT or something. Let's read together, everybody. And you yourself, let's start again. And you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Do you know what he was saying? Do you remember? We read verse 6 of Titus 2. Go to verse 6. Let me show you what leadership is. In verse 6, he told them, encourage the young men to live wisely. He was talking to Timothy as the leader. Encourage them. Now, when I talk to Timothy, you yourself, be an example to them. That thing you are telling them to do, model it to them. Are you following me, guys? Model it. And so, you want to be a good leader, live an exemplary life. Simple. Live an exemplary life. Live a life that people want to copy. Once you have a life that people want to copy, a life of example, a life as an example is easy to lead. Because people are not just going to follow your words, they're going to follow your life. I always give this example. You know, I lead a lot of teams. And I practice what I'm telling you all the time. Anything I want my team to start doing, I exemplify. Once I show it, they begin to do it. It works like magic. I always like telling this story. When I started Championship Foundation some years ago, we had a meeting, a conference. Are you following me? A youth conference. We call it Doxa. Then it wasn't Doxa. It was just a youth conference. So, that particular first meeting, the first edition of it, I had an exam. It was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It was majorly for secondary school students, and they were on break then, so we did it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But I was a university student, so I had an exam. I had an exam on Tuesday. I had an exam on Wednesday. The meeting was holding in Osaka. I had an exam at Abuani. That's after Enugu. Who knows Abuani? Like after Enugu, they go Abuani. Now, if I had come out and I told the people, I have exam, I will not be able to be coming, but I'll follow you guys up on the phone to know how you are doing. Everybody will understand, right? They'll say, Pastor, we'll miss you. Just do well. And it would have been very okay. But I wanted to raise a team of committed men. Two, I wanted to raise a team that we believe that we can multitask and still be excellent. Are you following me? So what did I do? I didn't even mention, they knew I had an exam. I came for the program on Monday. After Monday, I went back in the night. I read through the night. The next morning, being Tuesday, I preached, went, wrote my exam, came back. You get the point? The next day, went, wrote my exam, came back. Now, I didn't teach. I didn't mention, I just did it. That is a pattern in that ministry. In fact, in any ministry I run till tomorrow, you know now. You know, that's what you notice in PG. Tell somebody, I was not in church because I had, versus looking at you like, okay. So when we're not in church, say, I had this, I'm looking at you like, is that why you didn't come to church? It's beyond what we teach. It's a life I live. I get what I'm talking about. It's a life I live. Now, if I had come to say I'm teaching, be serious with God. Yeah, no matter what you do, do you know, by the year 2012, the ministry had grown, you know. Some of those people that were there when I acted out my drama, we are now getting admission. I remember one of those days, we had a conference, and that day was their matric. Some of them had a session to handle I'd already fixed them to handle a session in the program before the matric thing came up. So I told them, okay, don't worry, you have your matric. They said, no, we are coming. They had their guests waiting for them at the matric venue. They did the matric small, ran out from the matric venue, came to the program, preached their session. After preaching, went back to the matric ground. That's rugged. Are you following me? You don't teach it. You show it. Are you following me, guys? what I'm telling, talking to you about applies to everywhere, even in your company. Whatever you want to see, whatever culture you want to build, begin to become an example of it. Once you are an example, you're not doing it to show them. That's just your life. If you know me, if you smell me, I smell ministry. You smell me, I smell commitment. Anybody close to me, they smell. If you're following me, it will just rub off on you. You know, somebody said she was not going to attend our church. I used to tell this story all the time. He came, he said, ah, this church is very good, though, but I will not come to this church. I was telling his friend. He said, I like that church. He said, but anytime you enter that church, those people, they want to make you become too serious with God. I cannot go to that church. And sometimes the day they come, we don't preach about being serious with God. We just preach about normal, rejoice, rejoice. But the atmosphere in this place is smelling seriousness, serious with God. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. Now, and how to do it is, a leader must be an example of whatever he wants people to do. A leader must be an example of whatever he wants people to see. And so, you don't lead. What I'm saying is, you don't lead by pointing to people where they must go. You lead by walking and they're following you behind. Are you getting me? So, whatever you want the team to do, begin to do it. I'm telling you what I'm talking about. I practice it in everything. Everything. So, you want to be a good leader? Learn to lead the way. Learn to be an example. Learn to be an example. You want to earn respect? Practice what I'm saying. Practice it. By your character and conduct and courage, you can earn respect. You don't have to force it. Well, the brother I spoke to you about, he began to practice what I taught him. I said, just go back. Be a perfect example. Anything they say, do it. Let there be no reason why you messed up. Anything they say, just do it. They say, sing. They say, pray. Let's not come to program and we'll catch you sleeping. Take notes. Just be serious. And don't do it because you want to win their respect. I told him, forget about them. Work on your own self. Be serious. When you are perfect and you are serious to a great extent, it's easy for people to follow you. Do you notice what the apostle said in Acts 6? Look at Acts 6. Acts 6 verse 3. When they wanted to pick 7 deacons that will serve food. Now, look at the qualifications they wanted to have from those guys. Amen. Amen. Oh. Wherefore, brethren, look ye among yourselves. 7 men of what? Of what? 7 men of what? What does that honest report mean? Somebody that people are speaking well of. Put up NLT. NLT said, 7 men who are well respected. Put it up. Say, brother, select 7 men who are well respected. These are good examples. Amplified. Now, these people were not leaders. They were about to be made leaders. So the apostle said, these people we want to pick, they must already have those qualities first. We can now pick them. So in practicing leadership, don't wait to become a leader before you begin to live right. Be an example before a position comes. He said, therefore, select among you, that's amplified, brethren, 7 men of good and attested character and repute. So be a good example. Don't wait till you become a leader before you become punctual at the church. Don't wait till you become a leader before you begin to dress fine. Don't wait till you become a leader before you begin to be around evangelism. Don't wait. Don't wait. Honest report. Say amen. So be an example. You know, in 1 Peter 5 verse 1, when Peter was talking to the bishops, the elders, the pastors in the church, he told them, he said, elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the grace of God. He was talking to elders. What did he tell them? Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, but willingly, not for feeding locker, but of a ready mind. Verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being what? Samples to the flock. That's how to lead. So my point is, no way to have a position here. First, be an example. Amen? An example of punctuality, it should be you. An example of loyalty, it should be you. An example of commitment, it should be that. Let that be your life. When that is your life, naturally, when you now become a leader, you are not trying to live another life. You are just continuing the life you've always been living. You will not be acting. You know, I know this and I tell you because I did school fellowship very well. At school fellowship, you become a leader for 1 year or 2 years, you stop. You see people, their life, that the graph of their life is up and down. Before they become leaders, they are not serious. Once they become leaders, they are very serious, that dressing will come to fellowship. Once that leadership position goes, they go back to who they used to be. That's not leadership. Are you following me? Be an example. Be an example. Amen. Lead the way. Now, the next thing you need to become a better leader, to develop the leader within you, is to love people. Love people. Leadership is about people. It is people you are going to lead. And once people know that you love them, it's easy for them to follow you. Have you heard this proverb or this line? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Forever true. And so you don't value people, you can't lead them well. Do you know that when you love people, they feel it? You know, right? When you love people, they feel it. You want to be a better leader, whether you have a position or not, begin to practice loving people. So how do I do it? Don't carry bitterness in your heart towards anybody. Love people. Practically show people love. Practically show people that you love them. You will win their hearts in the process. And it will be easy to influence them. Don't do it because you want to influence people. But just be a man and a woman of love. When you, you know, some of you here, the reason, there are some things I do to you. Some that are following me very well. There are things I do to you, there are things I command you to do. That you know that no human being in heaven and on earth can make you do those things. True or false? So why are you doing it? You believe I love you. And that's the way love works. How did God get us to follow him? He loved us. In loving us, we now love him back. You see, people like me, we are slaving for Jesus. We are giving up some of our heavens. I'm saying, I'm ready to die for Jesus. What did he do? He just loved us. And we became diehard followers of him. That's how to love, to lead people. Once you are a man full of love, once you're a woman full of love, and you are showing that love to people, it's easy for people to even commit themselves to you. Do you know the reason why, I'm talking politics again, the reason why many of you are shouting, I want P2B, I want P2B, is because you guys believe that P2B loves Nigeria. Believe it. You get the point? You believe the guy loves Nigeria. Why don't you want the other candidates? Has P2B given you money before? Is it from your village? Something in you is telling you this guy loves this country. And that's enough. People are giving. You saw his birthday now. People are giving everything because they can feel that this guy loves this country. And that is how leadership is. If people can feel that you love them, they will go all the way for you. I don't have time to that. I've shown you how people interpret love. I've taught this here once. There's a way people interpret love. I won't go into that today. But you see, you must practically love people. You must practically care for people. You must practically, you know, genuinely love people. One of the ways to show that you love people is to value people genuinely. Value them. Love them. And show them both in your words and in your actions. And if you're leader of a team, begin to practice what I'm telling you. People want to know that you care about them. People want to know that you care about their studies. They want to know you care about their business. They want to know that you care about their relationship. You notice when you come to talk to me, I don't just ask you things like, why went to church yesterday? He says, I miss church, that. Make sure you come next week. I shout at you about that. Then we begin to talk. Are you in a relationship? Are you in love with anybody? Is that not, amen? How is it going in that relationship? The next thing, what business are you even doing? How is your finance? Now, by all those engagements, you are being convinced that this guy is not just interested in using you. I get the point. When people can't feel that you care about them, they feel you are just using them to achieve your personal vision. Are you in church this evening, guys? That's what they feel.
So people need to know. You know, think of how Jesus led, though. Jesus led so practically, people could feel that he loved them. The guy did not share money. You see, even the time he shared food, they came to eat again. He told them, there is no food for you again today. He now asked the apostles, the disciples, you guys, will you also go away? They stayed back. Once people can feel that you love them, it's easy for them to allow you to influence them. What else is leadership? That's leadership. You know, in John 11 verse 35, you know, there are some things you see Jesus, you can feel what I call liquid love. He got, John 11, 35, he got to the tomb of Lazarus. The Bible says Jesus wept. Now he got there. You know, when you see, he started crying. Do you know what it produced? See verse 36. Immediately he cried. What happened? Then said the Jews, behold how much he loved him. They could see that this guy loved this guy. He wasn't just there to perform a miracle to show them that I'm the resurrection and life. The miracle was born out of his genuine love for this guy that died and for the people crying. Are you following me, guys? And because they could feel that love, they could go all the way for him. And just like in marriage, I normally tell you guys, love works like that. A husband loves the hell out of the wife. The wife becomes heaven. Let me get the point. And begins to love him back too. And it's practical as that. That's what Jesus did to us. Leadership is like that too. Leadership is like that too. And you know what? When people know that you love them, they can make excuses for you. You get the point? They can make excuses for your mistakes. They say, I don't know why Pastor did that, but I know it's for a good reason. Hallelujah. Love. Once people can, you know, you can fake this. So that's what the politicians are trying to do. Politicians are trying to fake it. I'm saying you should not fake it. You're a believer. Really, really love people. Really, really love people. So, you know, how to know that you love them is beyond position. You know, I tell some pastors, some of you don't love people that are following you. The practical way to know you don't love them is, if those people now leave your ministry, you stop showing them care. If they leave your ministry and they come back to ask you for any favor, you no longer have the favor to give them. I get to the point. You never loved them all. You are just showing them care because they were in your ministry. You should really, really love people. Really, really care for them. Now, whether you're a leader or not, imagine you are this kind of person. You are in the choir, for instance. See what I've been teaching since morning. You are in the choir. You are a good follower of your leader. Very good follower. You know, they give him headache. You're not rebellious. Within your own, in your own space, you are leading from behind. You are productive and you're impacting and influencing people. Then to sum it up, you're a very good example in that choir. A good example of everything good. Then you genuinely love people. Let me tell you, such people can even carry out a rebellion. They can carry out, I get to the point, they can divide the choir. If they want to raise their own choir, people will follow them. But that's not what you're doing. I'm just giving an example. My point is that people can love you. They can want to follow you so much when they find the right qualities. So instead of fighting, make me a leader. Begin to develop what I'm saying. Learn how to love people. Learn how to genuinely love people. Love them with liquid love that when they cut, they can feel it. And there are many ways people can know that you love them. I don't have time to go into it. I'm trying not to go into it. It's a very long thing. But there are many ways you can show people that you love them. One, let it come from your heart. Then there are many other ways. You can tell them. You can show them. Genuinely love people. Once you love people, they follow you. When people don't know that you don't believe that you love them, they are not going to do much. There are some of you that, and that's why if I let me even drop this to say, you see, any day you are as a member of this church, any day something begins to tell you in your mind that your pastor does not love you, that thing is killing you. Because once that stuff in you can convince you that your pastor doesn't love you, he has messed you up. Amen? You know, some of you, the reason why you have a terrible relationship with your parents at home is because you believe they don't love you. I get the point. And once a child, that's why if you're a father, I'm talking about leadership, even in the home. Practice this as I'm teaching you in the home, where you become a mother, a father, an elder brother, an elder sister. Practice everything I've taught you so far. For instance, be a good follower of your parents. You can't fight your parents and expect that your younger ones will listen to you. Are you following me, guys? Practice it. Lead from behind in your own small corner. Do your job well. Lead the way. Be a good example to them. Then genuinely love your siblings. When you genuinely love your siblings, they will do whatever you want them to do. Are you following me? Genuinely love them. When you feel your father, and that's why when you become a father, that's where I was going to. When you become a father or a mother, one thing you must always do for your kids is go out of your way to make your kids never doubt that you love them. Amen? Let them feel it. When they feel it, they can follow you. They will make excuses for you. Amen. Glory to God. There are many things you cannot condone from people, but you take it and more from people you love. Amen. It's what is true. Hello, when I started CF and all that, most of the parents used to wonder, these are children that, you know, they hear what? And they know they hear. You see, when they come around, you tell them to kneel down. And they kneel down. And after you tell them to kneel down, and you shout at them, the next day they're running back to your house. What do you used to do to them? The thing is this, somewhere in your heart, you know, this guy, he wants the best for me. It's annoying. When people can feel that you love them, they can follow you. They can listen to you. Are you getting the point? They can listen to you. And so, this is not now, it's not about acting, showing fake love. Let that love come from within. You know you are full of love, right? Let it come from within. Really show people that you care about them. Whether you have a position or you don't, just love them. Just love them. When you just love them, they will listen to you. Whether they do, just love them. And not just that, you are now training yourself to become a leader. Because when you become a leader, all you'll be doing will also be loving people. You know, the toughest part of leadership is people management. I don't know if you know this. It is easy to manage equipment, to manage car, to manage anything. You see, to manage human beings, it's difficult. And the easiest way to begin to manage human beings is what I'm trying to show you. Love them and let them feel that you love them. 70% of the job is done. There are many ways to show people you love them all. For instance, amen. I can show you many ways. I've said you can tell them. Somebody, you can motivate them. That's one way. You motivate people. Motivate them. You are doing well. Do it again. That was beautiful. How many of you like people that motivate you, that talk? Yeah. They can feel it. That's why you see, you become a father tomorrow. You don't ever tell your kids you are doing well. Now, one of the things that children crave from their parents is validation. You know, right? Validation is one major way people can feel that you love them. You know, recently, you know, I was listening to my pastor. And in the course of the ministry, God began to talk to me. And a lot of stuff that God said to me that day about fathering, pastoring, and validating people and all that. At every time they baptized Jesus, a voice came from heaven. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Before everybody, God said to me, learn to validate your people like that, even openly. This one is doing well. They will not die. And they will not start misbehaving. I get to the point. People want that motivation. I mean, you show people that you love them. Be part of their life. Recognize them when they do well. You know, listen to them. Many ways. You know, people love people that listen to them. Some people, you come around them. Once people come around you, they all do the listening, you do the talking. You go, sometimes come and let them talk.
When you learn to listen to people, you know that sometimes some of you come to my office or come to my house or come to my DM and I just say talk. After talking, you might talk for, and I'll just say it's fine. And you're okay. You did not need me to advise you. You just wanted somebody to hear that thing you wanted to say. And I've heard it. And it's really fine. You know, sometimes when people come into my office, you used to wonder when I spend like 1 hour with them or 30 minutes, you wonder what are we talking about, right? Sometimes I'm the ones talking. I'm saying sometimes. Talk. So what happened? As soon as you, after talking, I'll just make 2 sentences. Well, maybe you should have done it this way, but it's going to be fine. I say, oh, thank you, sir. I'm really encouraged. And it always works. Amen. And that's why, you know, husbands, one of the ways to lead your wives, listen to her, let her talk. Yeah. You know, sometimes I find out that women are interesting people. They don't want you to encourage them. They don't want you to contribute. They're not even looking for an answer. They just want you to listen to that thing they're saying. So just keep quiet. Don't sleep. Or make sure you don't sleep. Just keep quiet and let them talk. Once they're just not talking, say, child, it's well. Bring them to your chest. Let them sleep. It's okay. Say, my husband, I so much love. When he encourages me, what did you say? He said. And that's how people, I told you one that I'll bring it up again. One, how there are many ways people interpret love. If you can listen to people, you can show that you care about them. But you see, that's one thing many parents lack. You must not be that kind of father. None of you can remember the day you sat down with your mom and you gisted her. You get the point. And those things, just gisted your mom, mommy, da-da-da, daddy, da-da-da. Then sometimes children want to talk, you must listen. That's leadership. Another way to show people you love them, for instance, is be patient with them. Many things. Be patient with them. Then, let me tell you one interesting way to show people that you care about them. When they are convinced you care about them, one way to strengthen that you care about them is by correcting them. When you correct people, they already know you love them. How many of you love when someone you value corrects you? You feel good about it. You correct them. Who wants to live a life where nobody tells you did anything wrong? If you're like that, then you have a problem naturally. So correction. So there are many ways, you know, you pay attention, you listen to them, you don't talk them down, you don't insult them, ask them questions, the right questions. How is this one? How is that one? You know, simple. I'm not talking about romantic love, because we're good romantic love, but I'm talking about practical questions. You notice in the choir, you're just there in the choir, you're just there in the ushering team or whatever, and the sister just mentioned to you that she's starting a poultry. After 2 weeks, ask her, how far does your chicken serve? When are you coming to buy them? The fact that you should is a way they believe you care about them. You remembered. I get what I'm saying. You remembered. And so, in learning how to love people practically, you are learning to be a good leader. Jesus was a perfect example. He loved practically. That even people around were saying, Kai, see how he loves this guy. They could feel it. Have you been blessed? Yeah, the last thing I'm going to say, the last thing you need to be able to develop the leader within you is learn proper decision making. I'm going to close with this. Learn how to make decisions. Leadership, when you become a leader, you are going to be a leader that in fact, the major job of a leader is making decisions. I hope you know, right? Yeah. And as a human being, tomorrow you're going to lead your children. And the problem with why you must master how to make decisions is that when you become a leader, you know, as a human being, especially if you're single, your decision affects you. When you become a leader, the decision affects not just you, but many other people. You have a problem with me. You make poor decisions. If you make poor decisions, you lose money. Now you're just a single mother. There's no problem. When you become a father, you become a mother, your decisions will affect your children. You will choose the school they will attend. You will just choose the wrong one. I get to the point. You don't know how to spend money wisely. You make decisions around there. Now, there's no problem. You make mistake, you go back to the hustle. When you become a father, you make that mistake. Before you get back to the hustle and come back, Junior needs pampers. I get what I'm saying. And so a leader must learn how to make decisions. And don't wait to become a leader. Begin to learn it now. And I can tell you, I'll just say a few things about decision making. Because if you don't know how to make decisions, all you'll be doing as a leader is making decisions. I gave an example last week when talking about the wisdom of God operating in Solomon. They brought two women came out and said, "This child is my child." That's where the strength of decision show. How did Solomon know what to do? You have a lot of decisions to make in this life. And if you learn how to make decisions for yourself, when you become a leader, you will know how to make decisions. What I do with the ministers, what I do with you guys, is that I'm the one making decisions. I wake up tomorrow and say, "Oh well, we are going to leave this hall to another hall. Or we are going to start the third service. Or we are going to..." All those things, these are decisions. Each of them have implications. If I don't have to make decisions, I will just make terrible ones that will just throw everybody off. Every decision I make in this church does not just affect me, it affects all of you. Are you getting me? You know, the simple things about, I'm going to leave this hall now. Let's go and buy instrument. I know a church that what I'm sharing with you almost wrecked. In fact, I will not say wrecked because I believe the church of God cannot be wrecked, but it actually wrecked it. The man didn't know how to calculate. He goes on Facebook. He sees churches. See this church. See that sound, man. He comes back to their church. He makes an inquiry. Those sounds are about 8 million to 10 million. He comes back to the church. Church that he's just trying to breed. He puts, "We must buy instruments within 2 months. This 10 million instrument." They kept doing it. They bought the instrument 10 million. I'm not joking. No. He now went on to say, "See how they're using. We are leaving this hall next week. We can't be in this. This hall does not fit our standard. See how that the hall they're using." I'm telling people, run away. Yeah. Escaped. Now, I'm not joking. I mean people ran away. 70%, 80% left. Poor decision making. You know, and let me, you know, if you want to make decisions, I'm already talking about it. One of the things that will help you become a good decision maker is don't ever make decisions in response to pressure, in response to emotions, in response to sentiments. If you can overcome these things I mentioned in making decisions, whether decision about who to marry, decision about what to wear, if pressure still makes you, still affects your decision making, when you become a leader, you'll be a bad one. Because they can pressurize you. I said pressure. Another example, emotions. Now, I might tell you guys, don't make decisions out of pressure, out of emotions. And I always say, ask. Ask who? You follow me very well. Ask Esau. What will make a man sell his birthright for porridge? That's how he was feeling at that moment. And that's something, you know, I read it in the Bible and it sounds so weird. But many of us make those decisions because we respond to pressure. This is what I want to do now. I just want to do it now. Pressure. Sometimes it is from you, it's from people. Some of you are struggling, you want to get married. The pressure is from outside. It's not because you are ready to get married. It's not because you even know what love is. It's not because you understand marriage. It's not because you even know who you're going to marry. But everybody's getting married. You want to marry. Poor decision making. It's the matter of leading yourself that was started from all. Poor decision making. Amen. Pressure. I started a ministry some years ago. A foundation, actually. And some people started a foundation when they started their own. They say, I'm not joking, no. They started doing their own program. People confronted them and said, "Why are you people doing this ministry?" He said, "Go and ask Bro Henry why he's doing his own." Pressure. And it was not good. It was not going to last. You don't make decisions out of pressure. And let me tell you, if you can deal with pressure, deal with, put your emotions aside when you want to make decisions. Put your emotions aside. Shall I say it again? Put your emotions aside. You know, the Bible said something. The Bible said, "Woe to that land when their king is a child." And how do you know childish kings? What I'm sharing with you now. Look for that verse for me. Woe to the land that their king is a child. How do you know childish kings? I'm telling you already. Anything can sway him. He said, I want to do others are doing. That's how you're going to lead your church. That's how you're going to lead your company. That's how you're going to lead your family. That guy that feels like,
our church, we should have left here. Everybody's finding fine halls we are living too. That is how the family can only afford 2-bedroom flats now. But because he has not learned how to make right decisions, he still responds to pressure. All his friends are living in duplex. He says, we too. Then he takes a loan. They move to duplex. Problem is, when he moves, he cannot furnish the duplex. You know, to furnish duplex, is 5 times the amount you paid to enter the duplex. How many of you know this? He has moved in now. He cannot furnish it. He's trying to furnish it. Another rent has come. Pressure. Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child and thy priest is eating in the morning. Children. Poor decision making is one major sign of a child, of a baby. He responds to pressure. He responds to emotions. He's so excited. He said, let's do it. You know, somebody told me that's why this is not against women. Okay, I didn't agree with him. But he said that's why he cannot allow a woman to become his leader. That women respond to emotions a lot. So a woman just so happy. He said, in fact, today, before you are the president and you're like that, you wake up, you're so happy. So I'm so happy today. Today is public holiday. Don't go to work today. I'm just so happy. I'm so excited. The next day you wake up sad. So no more paying of workers. Nobody is receiving any salary. I'm not in a good mood today. You know, you must be able to keep your emotions aside and do what your head knows and not what your heart is feeling. Should I say it again? Learn to keep emotions aside and do what you know in your head, not what you feel in your heart. And that's why even in relationships, I talk about this all the time. That maturity in relationship is being able to know that you like this girl or you like this guy. In your heart, you feel it. In your head, you know it's not supposed to be. And you follow your head and ignore your heart. Perfect decision making. You see this fine house. In your heart, you like the house. You want to move into it. In your account, you've seen that, well, even though you have this money now to pay, but subsequently, how do we sustain this? That's using your head and not your heart. What you might do is, I like it, it's fine, you Russian. Now, after 1 year, you know, I heard Robert Eko say, I'll talk about finance next week, I've said it many times here. Robert Eko said he has never lived in any house that he needed prayer to pay the house rent. That's a lot of wisdom. It's not a lot of faith. He said he has never lived in any house that he needed prayer to pay the house rent. He has never put his children in any school that he needed prayer to pay their school fees. You know what it means? He always lived according to his means. Simple. But because you've not mastered how to make decisions, you're just moved by emotion. Sentiment is another thing. Sentiment. What do people say? How will they see me? What if they now start to leave all those things? Amen. That's something a pastor told me recently that shocked me. I won't talk about it here. But that taught me a lot about sentiments. He told me, see, if you're thinking of what people are going to say, he said that I've made one of the most difficult decisions in my life. People talked, my church, everyone was talking, after they finished talking, they stopped talking about it, and I'm fine now. Sentiments. You must be able to do what you've decided with the Lord, what you know in your heart, on your head. You know, I was telling somebody recently, I said, one reason why many people, I'm a pastor now, and many people, you know, they marry who they're not supposed to marry because of sentiments. The celebrity does not want to marry a nobody because people are going to talk. So sentimentally, he marries a fellow celebrity that will crash in 2 months. Sentiments. I didn't get the point. You know, this is our church now. Say, pastor is not married. Who do you think pastor is going to marry? He say, I know you want. You must marry someone that is fire brand, that is spiritual. Now, the pastor falls for the sentiment. He's not looking for who he likes. He's looking for a fire brand, spiritual person. He now marries the person. The person is a perfect pastor's wife. But at home, nothing is wrong with the girl. Nothing is wrong with the lady. Something is just wrong with the union. Are you following me?
Because the pastor wants to marry who the people believe is the perfect pastor's wife. So she's like a mother to us. Pastor, marry her. And let me say, make it clear to you, I'm not going to marry your mother. I'm just making it very, very clear to you. Please know that. Don't forget it. Say amen. You have your mother, right? Focus on your mother. I'm not going to marry your mother. I'll marry who I like. Say amen.
Mm-hmm.
So, don't let sentiments drag you. Don't do it. Don't do it. There are more things I will not say. But however this affects you, second, I'll just say 4 or 5 things about the show maker that will pray. Time is spent. First thing, don't let pressure or emotions or sentiments affect you. Secondly, do not rush. I've been saying this all the time. Do not be in a hurry when you want to make a decision. We want to make important decisions as a leader, as a human being. Take your time. My people know this. There are things you bring up whenever I'm holding a meeting. I'll just tell you, let's talk about this next Sunday. If that is what I'm not clear, I say, let's talk about it next 2 Sunday. That is me. I must take my time. You can't push me. You just do it. No. I'm not going to do that. Glory to God. I'm not going to do that. So you must take your time. Don't rush to anywhere. Sometimes things that cannot wait should go. Sometimes. I tell you, sometimes things that cannot wait, if you lose them, don't feel so bad. Because you feel you lost 10 million naira because you did not hurry up. If you actually become in a hurry, you will lose more than 100 million. I didn't get a point. Don't ever, I'm not sure you ever rushed or hurried up and then you made a mess of everything. Something you know that if you had just slowed down, you would have gotten it right. Are you getting me? Don't rush things so. Take things easy. Don't be dull. Don't be slow. But don't rush things. Amen. Don't rush things. You want to decide where you're going to live? You want to decide who you are going to marry? Don't decide it just in a split of second. You want to decide whether you're going to travel? You got a scholarship? You want to decide whether you're going to take it or not? Don't rush. Don't rush. An opportunity presents itself. Don't just say, I've just click. Sometimes it's in a hurry to just click. You're not click. It is scam. They've cleared all the money in your wallet because you are in a hurry to take the opportunity. And if you are that in a hurry to make decisions, imagine when you now become a leader. That's like you'll be making rash decisions for your children all over the place. Come here, Father. Make crazy decisions for them. Hallelujah. You know, let me share this story with you. Before we got this hall, you know, that was last year now, you know. Some of you know the stories about when we got this hall. We had a deadline. You remember now? We had less than how many days deadline? Less than 1 week, right? To leave our former venue to move to a bigger one. We've not seen the hall, not seen anything. Now, on Thursday, it was on a Thursday. We had between that Thursday and, was it Thursday? It was on a Wednesday or so. Between that day and Sunday to make a decision and to announce our new hall. You know. And we had gone to a hall. Some of you remember that hall we went to. Somewhere around Obide. It was not exactly what we wanted. But the price was on our side. You know. So, something was like, you know, we had seen it well. It's not really what we want. But then we were actually choking. And we had the money to pay for that hall at that moment. After we checked, people said, should I call my, I was a lawyer. Who was there with me that day? Yeah. Should we call our lawyer now? Let's pay. No. I said, fine, let's go. They said, when are you guys not coming back? I said, we'll come back. We'll call you. At the time I was leaving that place, in my mind, I was already half convinced that we were taking that hall. But I just had to go home first. And thank God we didn't take that hall. If I had taken that hall, we would have been talking about another hall by now. I get the point. Now, take things easy. Don't rush things. Number 3, follow the leading of the Spirit. It will help you make decisions. Follow the leading of the Spirit. You're a believer. God talks to you. Listen to what God is saying. He will talk to you. He talks to you. Follow His leading. Never, church. Never downplay the place of the Spirit's leading in making decisions. No matter what you're deciding on, whether it is business, whether it is career, whether it is anything, don't ever ignore it. Pay attention. Brother Hagin will always tell us that it is better to be slower than God
than to be faster than him. And I believe that forever. Don't be too slow. Don't be too fast. Don't be slower than God. It's better you are slowing down to find out exactly what God is saying than that you run ahead of him and miss what he's saying. So listen. Business deal, listen. A job offer comes. Take time. Pray. Find out what the Holy Ghost is saying. Find out what it's saying. Then the next thing about making decisions, have the right priority. Generally in life, if you're someone that have the right priorities, you are going to make the right decisions. So what are your priorities? What comes first? I always give this example. If, for instance, money is the first on your priority list, you will always make the decisions about everything. So reorder your priorities. When you say God first, make sure it is really God first. When we say ministry is first, make sure it's really ministry first. You know, I've taught you here, there are many ways to check what is first in your life. Have I mentioned it here? There are many ways to check. For instance, your money is one example. The Bible said where a man's treasure is, there his heart is. Many things to check. So, is God really first? Another way to know what is really first in your life is your words. The Bible said out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Whatever you keep talking about all the time, that's what is occupying your heart. Are you following me, guys? So once there is the right priorities in life, it is easy to make the right decisions. It's very easy. Listen, my priority, I always tell you guys, God, ministry should be first. Consider it first. Secondly, guys, people and family should come before money. Are you getting me? It should. A job is coming. I always use this example. This one is going to pay 50 million. The other one is going to pay 20 million. So which one are you going to go for? Before you start looking at the money, check God. What is God saying? Check how will this affect my ministry, my spiritual life? Check family. That's why you've just picked up a job. You no longer have time for your family. You see your wife once in a week. Your children don't even know you. And I can tell you, if that kind of family you're coming from, it is totally wrong. It can never be right. It can never be right. Are you getting me? It can never be right. Training a child is not the duty of a woman. Are you following me? Are you following what I'm saying? Men and women should be involved in raising their children. So you pick up a job that keeps you away from your house for 6 months. If that ever happens, make sure it is temporary. Are you following me? Make sure it is temporary. Work hard on resolving it and getting back to your family. You must have the right priorities. It is this same nonsense priority that make parents or make people spend all their money in December and then go broke in January. Because they prioritized people healing them over their children's school fees that will soon come up in January. They prioritized buying bag of rice for everybody in the village over their house rent that will be due on January 16th. I get what I'm saying. They prioritized traveling to the village over, have the right. So before you spend your money, before you make a decision, have the right priorities. And last thing I'm going to say is seek counsel. Okay? Where there is need, seek counsel. Have someone you talk to. So what do you think I should do about this? Now, when you have mastered decision making, you are on your way to becoming a good leader. Leaders make tough decisions. Just look at that example I gave you about Solomon. Tough decisions, leaders must make them. This woman said, it's my child. This woman said, it's my child. What are you going to do in that kind of situations? You must learn to make difficult decisions. Don't run away from difficult decisions. So. Don't run away from them. Learn to make tough decisions. And I want to even say to you, stop running away from making tough decisions. So what if I make the wrong one? Well, you've seen what you should not do the next time. The important is that it was your decision. Say amen. Make decisions. Leaders make tough decisions. Don't run away. Don't run away. Pray. Trust God. Make decision. I have to choose to either take this or take this. Decide. Choose what you want out of life. And make your decision. Guys, the wisdom of God in making you a better leader is actually in making you a better person. In you becoming a better person, you will become a better leader. You learn to lead yourself. You learn to be a good follower.
You learn to lead from behind and make impact wherever you are. You learn to be a good example. You learn to love people. You learn to make proper decisions. You become a better person. In doing this, you are developing yourself towards becoming a stronger and a better leader. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say with me, say, I am wise in the wisdom of God. Say it again, say, I'm wise in the wisdom of God. So learn it. Learn it. Proper decision making. Loving people. Show people you care about them all. You know, talking about decision making, and I'm going to close this now. There are many of you that are faced with very tough decisions you have to make. I sent the Holy Ghost saying, I say that now. This is not time to run away from those decisions. It's time to make them. I made a very difficult decision. When the Lord began to show, for instance, I'll give you an example. The Lord began to show me the right things to teach from the Bible. As at that time, nobody in my area was teaching those things. Nobody. Nobody. At least to the best of my knowledge. But then, it was a decision I had to make. It took me 2 years old to decide. I was reading the Bible, God was showing me. Once I made the decision, I'm going to stand for this. I knew what it was going to bring, and He brought those things. Many of you are those spots where you're going to make difficult decisions. You know, there are some people, they know the right church to go to. They know maybe that in their church that they're not getting, but they know this is the right church. But you know, one of the most difficult decisions to make in life is leaving your church. I don't know if you know this thing. It's very tough living where you have been. They know in their heart, but what will people say? How will I do it? It is time to confront those difficult decisions. You're in a relationship. You know it should end. You know it should end. It's a difficult decision. It's a tough one. Because if it ends, what will people say? People that have known me with this guy all this while, will they not say that I've wasted my time? Will they not say it's time to make those tough decisions? That is how to grow. I get the point. That's how to grow. Some of you, the decision is a decision to quit your job. It's been in your heart. Quit this job and get into a business. God has put business in your heart. But it's a difficult decision to make. If you are convinced, you've prayed, it's time to make that difficult decision. In making that decision, you are learning how to be a leader. You know, every time you make a difficult decision, you grow. You develop capacity. Some of you, it's a decision to leave. You know, I'll share this testimony with you. One of us, you know, not in this center, she was in a city. She went to, you know, she was a member of our church, and then she went to a city. So when she called me, I told her, well, there is no church in that place. So join any church you see there. Join a good church that teaches the gospel. He says, sir, but the Lord told me to stay with you. I said, fine, join that one first. You can't just be at home. We didn't have an online platform there. You get the point? We didn't have any online community. So she joined. And over time, I said, but when you join, tell the pastor plainly that you are coming from somewhere else. So if my church comes to this place, I will not be here. She did that. So over time, she became committed to the church, became productive. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Then she had even started working in the church. And the church had even given her a house. When I mean working, not like a worker in church, working in the church office. Are you following me? So finally, church was coming around that area. And she told me, what do I do? I said, well, things like this, you don't rush them. Stay where you are for now. Stay where you are. So she said, she kept telling me, I feel the Lord is, I want to leave this place. I said, fine, don't rush. Talk to your pastor. After praying, she talked to her pastor. The man said, the man became angry. She called me. I said, no, don't fight him. Pastoring is an emotional thing. Do you understand? The man, he won't just let you go like that. That's a way to do things. I get the point. I get what I'm saying. That's the right way to do things. I said, take it easy. So after 3 months, she went again. The man was like, whoa. I said, calm down. At the time, the man began to pray. What I'm talking to you about took up to 1 year. Now he began to pray. You know, now the point is, The girl leaving that church to join whatever new church that was coming around that area, she will lose her church, she will lose her job, she will lose her house. Are you getting me? What state she was determined? I said, okay, as you're doing, I'll be looking for another job gradually, so that, but no job came. So after the man said, okay, give me 6 months. After 6 months, I'll let you go. She called me and said, give him 6 months. Don't rush touch things. You're a committed worker in that church. 6 months, the man said, after everything, the man now said, if you want to, whenever you want to go, you come and tell me. This is where the problem is. Whenever you want to go, come and tell me. Now, now I have to decide. If I tell you I'm leaving today, it means I'm losing my job. I'm losing my house. Are you getting the point? So she called me and said, well, it's just like this. I don't make it for people. Pray. And thank God. She prayed and told me, well, I've decided I'm just going to. So she left. But good thing was that she left very peacefully. The man prayed for her, released her. But then she had lost her job and troubles from everywhere began to come. That's why there's a teaching I'm going to do during Man Up and Perfect Lady Conference, right? I tell you to live in by conviction. When you live your life by conviction, when challenges come, because there is conviction coming from within. Are you getting me? You know what? I remember this because recently she was talking to me. She said, do you remember that it was just recently that I left where I was working and all that? Now the Lord has given her. When I mean, if I say it's double her previous salary, no, that's not true. That's actually 3 times her previous salary, and with a job that she just has to work 3 times in a week. Are you getting me? Sometimes what you just need to do is to make the difficult decision. Once there is peace in your heart towards it, make that decision. The strength of decision making is one of the strongest strengths of a leader. A leader must learn to make tough decisions when the time comes. Hallelujah. A better leader makes better decisions.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.